mention a special prayer request on Thursday night for a sister up in, a young sister up in Bluffton, Ohio. Her name is Bethany Hatfield. She's also the daughter of Brother Wayne Lawson. They haven't been married real long, maybe a year or two, something like that. And she has a young baby, but she's been suffering real bad from some mental illness, and where she's not able to actually, she's been in and out of the hospital and isn't able to actually take care of her baby and that. And so she had heard the testimony that I gave up in Ohio in April. She heard it online, watched it, and about how God had healed me. So she had sent word to me through my sister-in-law to, she said, if that brother pray for me, I know I'll get healed. And so she just, I know what it's like to really suffer from that mental illness and things. And, you know, and it's something many people don't understand. It's not, it's an illness just like anything else. It's many times people think things of the mind have to do with things going on around you, but that's not always the case. That is with people who are normal, not having those illnesses. You know, you get affected. Everybody does by things around you, and that mentally and that. We know the devil fights you that way, but there actually is just like with anything else in your body, where things can go wrong and cause you to have an illness. And but we know that God, He's the God that heals all of our diseases. So. There's nothing beyond His touch. Amen. Also, I know Teddy's out sick this morning. He took sick pretty bad yesterday, so remember him in your prayers. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, this morning. And Lord, also, God, I just now remember, I heard about Crystal. Lord, she's sick, Lord. And God, I pray You'll touch her. I pray for Teddy, dear God, that You'll touch him, Father, heal him, God. I pray for this sister, Bethany, dear God, that You will, Lord, just touch her, heal her, dear God, and comfort her, Lord. Send the angels like You did to Elijah, dear God, when he was suffering, dear God, and comfort her, Lord, and heal her, I pray. We ask for this service, Lord, and that You will come, Lord, and speak to us in a real way, dear God. And Father, open our understanding, Lord, that our faith will be increased, dear God, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Turn up in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 15. I want to read the first six verses there. I want to continue what we were speaking on last Sunday, or Sunday before we started on being certain, being certain. Genesis 15, verse 1. And after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one is born in my house, is mine heir. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord. Now that word, we said last Sunday, that word believed there actually translates in the Hebrew to mean to be certain. He was certain in the Lord, and he counted in him for righteousness. You may be seated. You notice when we started this off, the Lord, when he comes to Abraham and he speaks to him, the first thing that he addresses is fear. Fear that Abraham had. You know, fear is all humanity's great enemy. Fear. And people will react certain ways, do certain things, actually out of fear. And we know that actually the one who works through fear is actually Satan. God God works through bringing, you know, we know the word in the Bible says, fear the Lord. But it's like that word is actually translated as in respecting and honoring the Lord. But the fear that the devil brings, we know that the Bible says that perfect love casts out that fear. And because it says that fear brings torment. The fear that's why we so, when anybody is ever overcome by fear, they're actually in a tormented state. And Abraham's fear here, you realize Abraham had already came out. He had already heard the Lord. He had already left the land of the idol worshipers where he was born and raised. He had come out of there. He was following the word of the Lord, sojourning that. But Abraham's fear that he dealt with here was that I'm going to be the last. You know, I have no heir. I've got no heir to pass any of this on to. And not only, you know, maybe his material things, but the spiritual revelation that God had imparted to him. And I'll tell you this, friends, anyone who's got a real spiritual revelation of who Jesus Christ really is today, they want to be able to pass that on to others. It's just part of our spiritual DNA. Amen. And the Bible outlines that, saying those that actually had the Spirit of God would be travailing for souls, that others would be saved. And so, but he deals with Abraham's fear here. And he tells him, this is why you shouldn't fear, Abraham. Don't fear because of me. Not because of what you're able to do. You know, he didn't say, look, Abraham, you're a mighty man. You can do this and you can do that. He didn't try to build Abraham up that way. He said, look, this is the reason you don't need to fear, because of who I am. I'm your shield, he said, and your exceeding great reward. A lot of people look for materialistic rewards. Look, friends, we don't need materialistic rewards. The reward we need is to know that we are a child of God. Amen, because that means, friends, that he has your every well-being. He has that in mind. He's looking out for everything on your behalf. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11, it outlines Abraham's faith and how that Abraham had faith to follow God, to come out of the land wherein he was born, and to actually go to a place. God tells him, I'm going to take you to a place, and yet Abraham, the Bible says, he didn't really know where that place was. God didn't give him a GPS or a Atlas map to say, okay, you're starting here, this is where it's going to take you. He just had to follow God's word. If you listen to the message of At Thy Word, Lord, you'll find Brother Branham through that message that's what he's talking about. God didn't always tell him why. He would say, go stand on this corner. He didn't tell him why there on the street. But there'd be somebody that would come that God had told them, you go there, I'm going to have a man there, and he's going to pray for you. And so many times God speaks to you, and he doesn't tell you everything that he's going to do. And that's why it's a walk of faith. You got to trust God. You know, if you knew everything that was going to happen, see, then your confidence or your being certain would rely in you knowing what's going on. It would rely in that, in yourself. But that isn't how God wants us to be certain. God wants to be certain because of who he is. Hallelujah. And when you realize that you belong to him, then realizing who he is, and then you're certain of him, then you can be certain that everything is going to work out for you. Hallelujah. Abraham, the Bible says, was faithful. And he even talks about the faith that Sarah had. Therefore sprang, the Bible says, even from one of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in a multitude, and as the sand which was by the seashore, innumerable. But it also says that Abraham's faith was tried. God will try your faith. He'll allow it to be tried. And Abraham, you know, when you look at it, you think, why would God ask seemingly such an odd thing of his servant to take his only son and sacrifice him? But, and you know, if you just think about that in a human way, a carnal way of thinking, you would think, why would God ask somebody to kill their own son? It was only playing out a type that God's own son was going to come and give his life and be the ultimate sacrifice. Of course, we know that Abraham, God didn't tell him, look, you're not really going to have to kill him. I'm just going to take you up here and try you and test you in that. But, you know, it all had to play out. And Abraham's faith had to be tried in it. And realize, look, God can do more than one thing at a time. Sometimes we as humans have trouble walking and chewing gum at the same time. But God can do more than one thing at a time. He can take care of all of us at the same time. All of his children, all around the world, he can take care of all at the same time. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. So God, while he was testing Abraham, he was also playing out a type of something that was going to come. So we actually see this type of Isaac actually playing a type of the son of Abraham being a sacrifice, but also Isaac also there typed you and I, because there had to be someone come and take Isaac's place. And the angel said, when after Abraham had been tried and Abraham passed the test, he had raised his hand to slay his son, that the angel said, stay your hand, don't do the child any harm. And he looks and there's a ram, a sheep caught in the thicket. And he says, slay that. So a lamb took Isaac's place. Hallelujah. But Abraham, how was Abraham certain? He's like, look, because Abraham didn't know God was going to stop this before he went too far. Abraham was not aware of that. So Abraham, you got to realize Abraham was operating under the pretense that he was going all the way with what God had told him to do. You say, well, how could Abraham bring himself to do that? Because the Bible says he already knew that Isaac had come from one who was dead already, and that God was able to raise him back up again. So he's like, I don't know what you're doing, God, but I've got trust in you. I'm certain of your word. You promised me that my seed would outnumber the stars and the sands. He said, so, and this is the only one I've got. But you promised it. It's your word. And I'm certain, I'm sure. That's what it meant that Abraham believed and had faith. He was sure of God. Amen. David writes, the testimony of the Lord is sure. And that word that David uses there that's been translated as sure is actually from the Hebrew word that means certain. The testimony of the Lord is certain. He also writes and says, the works of his hands are verity, which means they're sure. And reliable, irrefutable truth. That's what verity means, irrefutable truth. And judgments and his commandments are sure. Well, there again is certain. Hallelujah. So Abraham was certain of God. We think about the story, you know, and we look at all these. You realize these stories that are in the Bible, these testimonies of these different ones, that it's actually testimonies of their faith. It's testimonies of their faith being tried. It's actually in examples that is laid out for you and I that we can actually draw from. We can draw understanding of God. We can draw strength. We can draw faith to be certain. We look at the Hebrew children. Here they are, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. You know, And the king, you know, look, we all know how the story goes. The king was actually tricked by some men in his kingdom into building this statue to Daniel and worshiping this man. And he was tricked into the whole thing. See, they were plotting. They had this plan to get rid of these Hebrews. And so they said, look, anybody who doesn't, you need to make a command, anybody who won't bow and worship this, that they're going to be cast into the fiery furnace and be killed. And so the king says, sounds like a good idea. I do believe that. And so, you know, he gets bamboozled, kind of tricked into this whole thing. And then they point out and say, hey, look, these Hebrew children that you're down here, you're actually treating them special. You're feeding them special kinds of foods and everything else. And look, they won't even keep your commandment and worship this idol. And so he brings them up there and he says, look, boys, I'm going to give you another chance. We're going to play this music. And when the music plays, if you bow, then you're fine. But if you won't bow, I'm going to have to throw you in the fiery furnace. Now, you know, he wanted to take counsel. But they didn't need to take counsel. Why? They were sure. They were certain. Now, listen to this, friends. They weren't certain that God was going to deliver them from the fiery furnace. They actually said that. Whether he'll do that or not, we don't know, they said. But one thing they were certain of, he's going to deliver us out of your hand. And we're certain we ain't bowing. We're certain in our God. That's the only one worth worshiping. A lot of folks need to be certain of that today. They need to be certain of who they're worshiping. Hallelujah. But God, look, God allowed them to go all the way down, not just to the door of the fiery furnace, but they were actually thrown into the fire, right in the midst of it. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. They weren't walking around in there saying, well, God, I thought you loved me. If you loved me, why'd you let me get thrown in this fire? Why'd you let this happen to me, God? Why is this happening to me if you love me? I'm going to tell you, friends, if you've ever been guilty of that, you better get away from it quick. And that's what this whole series is going to be about, getting away from that. You've got to be certain of God. Look, the things that are going on in your life, don't look at those and see, does God love me or not? I've had people say, we are blessed of God. God loves us. Look at all the stuff we own. Lord, have mercy. There's all kinds of wicked people out there that's way more stuff than you got. How did they get that? They get up, sure, they get up and say, I thank God for this. Bunch of liars. God didn't do that. God won't bless sin. It's all a trick of the devil. Hallelujah. But he let them get thrown right into the fire. And then he came down there with them and walked in the fire. He didn't send angels down there to pick them up and fly up out of there. No, he went down in there and walked in there with them. They looked over and said, look down in there and see how they fare. I said, oh, King, didn't we throw three men in there? I said, yeah. He said, well, I see four down there. And said, they're all, none of them's bound, and they're walking around unhurt. And said, the fourth one is like the Son of God. Tell you this, friend, you've heard that song about he'll take us through the fire again. Look, he'll come and take you through anything you're going through. Know this, you might feel like you're all alone, but you ain't. God is with you the whole time. Remember that little poem like that's talking about the footprints on the sands of time, you know, and he saw the two sets of footprints, and then there was a time when he only saw the one set of footprints, and he said, Lord, why did you leave me? He said, I didn't leave you. Them's my footprints. I was carrying you. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. But see, He'll allow our faith to be tested. So there's sometimes he will remain silent. He remains silent just to let your faith be tested. To see, are you certain of him? If you don't hear anything, are you still trusting in him? Look, we're not trusting in what we feel. We're not trusting in our emotions. Those things can all be lying vanities. What you're trusting in is it's God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Now, there's many things that happen to us in our lives, and I'll tell you this many times, we don't understand why. And because of our humanity, sometimes these things make us suffer real bad. The loss of a loved one in different things, it can make you grieve and suffer really bad. And of course, Satan's going to be right there to say, I thought he loved you. Anytime that happens, if that has happened, look at it and say, this is me. This is Job. Now let me do a comparison. I've lost a child. Job lost all of them all at once in the same day. But that didn't shake Job. Yeah, Job wondered. Job had questions. And of course, they had many, so-called church members, so-called followers of God in that day that came to him and said, I know what's wrong. You're doing something wrong, Job. You're secretly sinning somewhere. That's why God's punishing you. God was not punishing Job. He allowed Satan to come and afflict him to try him. But I want you to know this too, friends. Things that happen to you in your life, sometimes it ain't all about you. Hey, I'm going to get real here. And if you don't like it, that's fine. Sometimes you have a loved one that dies. Don't make that about you. It ain't all about you. God's concerned about them too. Look at what the prophet said. He said, sometimes God will take a child because he realized if that child goes on, something bad would happen to it and he's going to prevent it. So he just goes ahead and takes it. That ain't about you. Quit making it about you. That's God caring for everyone. You say, but I hurt so bad, I grieve so bad. God's going to work out something in you too. You're not going to be, your certainty in God isn't because everything's going smooth for you. It ain't because you're being blessed hand over fist. It's you got to be certain of God. Because friends, look, you're going to face things in this life. It's inevitable. But I'll tell you this, if you're certain of God, he'll take you through every bit of it. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. We're all very familiar with this. These verses of scripture here, I want to start reading in verse 28. And we know that all things, not just some things, not just things when it seems like everything's going your way, all things, even the things when you seem like you think, man, this is horrible, that's still going to work out together for the good to them that love God. Now, this is the thing you got to realize, friends. Many times we get to thinking whatever's affecting us in this life, however, if it's making this life easy and good for us, making us happy and all that, then that means it's good for us. This life, we've so often pointed you to it in the scripture, it's a blade of grass, it's a flower, it comes, it fades, it's over soon. Now, some of you that's real young, I'll tell you this, you know, it's kind of hard to get maybe the concept and realize this. I'll tell you, friends, I remember when I was real young, you know, I thought, well, you know, when I was a kid, I used to think summers lasted almost forever. I loved summer. Of course, back then, you know, as a kid going to school, my summer started before Memorial Day, and I didn't go back until after Labor Day. You know, that's before they tried to school everybody to death. So we did have kind of some long summers. But, man, I enjoyed summer. I seen this thing that said, you want to let kids today know what it's like growing up before when we growed up and said, well, take their cell phones, take their iPads, take their internet, take their computers. Take all that stuff away and say, now get on outside and play. That's how we grew up. Kids go around today, I'm so bored. Look, friends, for my first 13 years, I grew up an only child. I was never bored. I was always into something. I was always doing something. Exploring or something, man. Exploring, shooting guns, or doing something. Fishing. There was always things to do. And, you know, kids could use their imagination. You could go out and play by yourself. Lord have mercy, I used to play war by myself. You just got to have a bit of imagination. This world has took the imagination, I think, out of kids. Hallelujah. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. It ain't just when things are going good. Everything that goes on in your life, God is working it towards something else. The older you get, you'll find out this life, it really ain't, don't last long. You know, there are people that you can look at and watch them. Maybe you'd seen them when they were like 20 years old or something, and then you see them like 40 years later, and you look at them and say, they still look the same, just a little older, you know. Then there's those of us, I think, is under a curse. Somehow we cannot look like we looked when we were 20. We don't even look like we're the same human being. You know, but you know, look, it passed. And I look back now and I think, my goodness sakes alive. You know, where in the world did all that time go? It just went by so quick. This life is short. So look, God's whole focus for you isn't on just this life and what and every, you know, and the look, he takes care of us in this life. Don't get me wrong. And he is concerned about what's going on with us. But this is not his end game. Sometimes people look at their lives like that's whatever's going on in their life right then is the end game. It's not. Everything is working toward what God's eternal promise is. So the things that go on in your life, you know, don't get so tunnel visioned and looking down around you like them boys that couldn't, you know, they could ride their bikes with no hands but couldn't ride down the board in the story Brother Benham said, but that little boy they made fun of that couldn't ride, he had to have his hands on the handlebars. He just rode right on down. He said, fellas, what I did was I didn't get to looking down around me. That's where we go wrong, is when we get to looking around us. We get our eyes fixed on whatever situation we're going through. Look, I realize we're human, and we're in this flesh. And that being, look, yeah, things are going to upset you in your flesh. But that's when you need to bring this man back into subjection to the word. Say, now, wait a minute. I don't know. This is bad, what's going on. Whatever I'm going through, it seems real bad right now. I don't see the way out of it. I'm not enjoying it in the least. But God's got me in his mind, and God's taking care of me. And whatever is going on, In the end, I'm going to benefit from it somehow. Now, I know there's things we look at it sometimes and we say, look, this particular thing right here, I really don't see how I can benefit from this. That's just because you can't see how far it goes where God's taking us to. Look, I miss my dad, you know, and I know that's not the same as somebody losing a child, but I miss my dad. I miss others that has went on, but this is the thing, friends, you know, and there's times a little pain will kind of hit me, you know, missing them and that, but I know where he is. I know where my loved ones are. I know where my friends are. And I know that I got a promise that one day there's going to be a resurrection, and when that happens, they're going to come to me. And when I see them, then I'll know my change is on the way. And we're all going to get together and get up out of here, because this isn't what life's about. Hallelujah. Look at the statement Brother Brandon makes. He says, when we were born into this world, he said, what happened was we bypassed our theophany. Now let me just enlighten you on that a bit. You bypass the good to come to the bad. Why is things so bad in this flesh sometimes? Because Adam and Eve disbelieved the word and throwed all of humanity into this death trap. Right. Condemnation by representation. They represented us, and because of that, the day they ate, it caused all of us to die. This is not how God intended life to be. Be born, live, die, gone. That's not what God intended. Adam was not created that way. Adam got himself and got us into that fix. But God's promise is, friends, we're going to live forever. And I'm going to tell you something. We're not going to live forever in the United States. We're not going to live forever in any other country. We're going to a new country. It's not going to be like any of these governments. It's going to be governed by the true King.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, let's go on and read. My time's flying. For we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, them that are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. See what his plan is? We're being conformed to his image. So he's shaping us now. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who? Not what. Who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with them also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Well, somebody's trying. That's why he said who. It is God that justifieth. So here Paul gives you a clue to identify this person, this who. Who is he that condemneth? Well, we know who it is that condemneth. It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? So it's going to be a who that tries to separate you from it. Look, these things that are going on in your life that sometimes has made you question, does God love me? Them things ain't what's going to separate you. It's that who that's actually the one telling you, I thought you said God loved you. Why is he letting these things happen? That's a who. And he ain't on your side. But then Paul says, then he starts naming a bunch of things. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For it's written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things. So he's named off a bunch of things. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. We're not just going to barely overcome them. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. So Paul says, look, this person that's telling you to question whether God loved you, I'm going to remind you, he loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, now here's a couple of more things, issues, situations, nor angels, now we start getting into who's. Angels, principalities, powers. Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers of darkness in high places. Demons, the devil. For I'm more persuaded that nor angels or principalities or powers, nor things present, nor things to come. The things you're going through, they're not going to separate you from the love of God. The things that you have yet to go through, they're not either. Hallelujah. Nor height, nor debt, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The things that go on in your life, they're not your problem. It's the who that's behind the things. And if you realize who the who is behind all these things going on, then you can look at it and quit getting so overcome and consumed with the actual, the situation and issues. But if you realize who's behind it all, then you know how to combat it. How to come against it through prayer. Listen, friends, did you know that your prayers, and I'll show you this. This isn't from a book of fiction. This is from the Bible. Do you know your prayers actually empowers the angels? Daniel was praying, the Bible said. And he didn't cease praying. He just kept praying for an answer from the Lord. And it seemed like, you know, an amount of time passed and he hadn't heard back. But he just kept praying. And finally, an angel comes to David, and or to Daniel, and he says, look, God heard you the very first day you prayed. And he dispatched me to bring you the answer. He said, but on my way over here to you, I got beset by the prince of Persia. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The prince of Persia wasn't a human. It was a power of darkness in high places. A human couldn't stop an angel. But another angel that had fallen from grace could fight an angel of God. And he said, a great battle ensued. But you kept praying. So God sent Michael down there. And Michael went into battle with him and allowed me to get away and bring you your answer. All because Daniel kept praying. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The message of Be Certain of God, Brother Branham says this, we do not come to the house of God to be seen or to see. We come to learn of thee and to know thy nature and thy way and thy causes. That's what we're all preaching about today. The ways of the Lord, the nature of God, God's causes, that we might be able to face the problems of life with a real assurance, being certain of God. We can face all these problems, everything that comes our way, every decision we have to make. Now, I know many times I've painted up as all the bad stuff. Sometimes they're just troubling things. They're not really bad. It's just things you got to make decisions on and things you got to take action on and different things like that, you know, and you got to face them and you got to, look, friends, you can have real assurance that God's going to be with you in it. You know, let me just drop this in. Because we've got however many Sundays it takes to finish all this. Let me just drop this in. Many times you're searching for the will of God. You know, you got something, a decision you got to make. You got either a purchase you got to make or a sale, or you got some kind of thing you got to do in life, and you got to make a decision on it. And what we would like, many times as Christians, we'd like God to actually come down and either audibly tell us something, Or tell some man of God to come tell us something. Or give us some kind of a sign. Remember the Bible says about that generation that seeks after signs. But of course, many times we want a sign. God, show me something, you know, like Gideon. I'll put the fleece out here. You let the dew fall on everything but the fleece, and then I'll know it's a sign from you. So God said, okay, fine. So the dew fell on the ground, the fleece stayed dry. Well, shouldn't that have been enough? How many times we're like Gideon? Okay, that's one, Lord. Now, let me give you another one. Now let the dew fall on the fleece and let the ground be dry. God said, okay, I'll do that. So the fleece had dew on it and the ground was all dry. Man, look, scientifically tell me how that can happen. But Gideon still wasn't sure. See how human, how we can be as human? Lord, okay, now hold on, wait a minute. Ain't no way, I don't know if we can go down and be, look, Gideon, you can do it. I'm with you. You got to say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Amen. Hallelujah. But many times we'll seek after a sign. We seek after something to get an answer. I'm going to tell you this. Friends, look, there was a time that I had a decision to make one time, and it wasn't nothing, you know, that was overly important. But it was just something that anytime I'm facing a decision, I want to, you know, Lord, I don't want to do this or go that way if somehow that's going to be detrimental to my spiritual walk. Somehow it's going to hinder my spiritual walk. I don't want to do that. So, you know, and I thought, well, with praying that way, the Lord would just let me know, you know. And this particular one, God said, you make the choice. That blew me out of the water. What? Wait a minute. But I don't want to make the wrong choice. Brother Branham says, look, sometimes God don't tell his men everything. And Brother Branham says, sometimes you got to make some decisions for yourself. So he said, well, then how do I do that? Well, you got to have peace about whatever decision you're making. He said, well, how do I get there? Well, look, you've prayed before God, so now take a look at it. Take a look at the situation. Is this going to take you away or hinder you from serving God in any way? Is it going to make it harder on you getting to service? Is it going to make it harder on you in any way? Look, friends, if it is, I'm going to tell you something, then I'd say, wait a minute, then this is the decision I'm going to make the other way. Because why? Because here's the first decision, and this is the main one. God's first. God comes before anything else in my life. God comes before my family. It comes before my wife. He comes before my kids. He comes before my mom, my parents. It comes before the church. It comes before, God comes before you in my life. God, my first decision's got to be about him. And I'll tell you this, friends, sometimes, because you realize, look, Satan's got demons running here and there and hither and yon and everywhere. And he's looking for every way he can to try to put a stumbling block in your way, try to put a hindrance to you, to try to put a discouragement to you. So can he work on another child of God to affect you? Yeah. We're all interconnected. But that's where you got to take your stand and say, look, I love you, but I got to take my stand with God. This decision, if I make it that way, it's going to be a hindrance to me spiritually. Sometimes it's people that are the hindrance sometimes. That's not my opinion, by the way. Abraham had two hindrances in his life. The first one was his daddy. God told him, you need to separate yourself from your own dad. Yeah, but I love him. I want him to be saved too. I want him to go to this place too. He said, No, Abraham. You need to separate yourself. Abraham just couldn't bring himself to do it, like many of us can't. So God said, okay, then here's what I'm going to do. Your daddy's going to die because I got to get you away from him. And then it comes down to where, Abraham has this other hindrance as a person. Lot. He said, but Lot was a believer. Yeah, but he wasn't a believer like Abraham. And God said, look, you need to separate yourself from Lot. So Abraham said, Lot, look, you choose where you want to go and I'll take the other way. So Lot did. And we know Lot got in trouble. And Lot got captured, and Abraham still loved him. He was family. So Abraham went down there and went to war on them people that got Lot and delivered Lot, saved him back out of there. But still, they were separate. And then God comes and tells him, look, I'm going to go down. The sins of Sodom and Gomorrah have just reached the high heavens. I'm going to destroy him with fire. Abraham said, man, I got a nephew down there. So Abraham, he starts in this roundabout way. If there was this many, God, would you spare it? If there was this many that were righteous, would you spare it? And he said, yeah. And Abraham knew there wasn't that many, so Abraham decreased the number. He kept decreasing it. He still knew there weren't that many, so he just kept decreasing it. Because really all it was about was Lot. And finally it got down to if there's one, And so God dispatched two angels to go down there and take Lot out of there. Now, here's what I want you to draw out of this. Abraham still loved Lot. Abraham still cared for Lot. Abraham still done things for Lot. But they didn't have a constant fellowship. They couldn't. Because Lot was a hindrance. Sometimes it's that way. I'm sorry. Look, friends, I got loved ones that are in the denominations. And some of them believe that stuff so much. That if you get to talking too much about something, they can get really upset. Now, I can fellowship so far with them. But, I can't have real true fellowship with them the way I do with God's elect in this day. And many of them, they try to be good moral Christians. And I'm not condemning them. They can only walk in what they see and know. You know, like the song said, God didn't have to open my eyes because the age I was living in, it was blind, the Laodicean age. It was God that opened mine and yours eyes. Brother Bam talking about Abraham, Lot said Lot was a silver dollar. I mean, Abraham was a silver dollar, Lot was a penny. He said Lot could not help that. Brother Bam said, look, God's got silver dollars, he's got quarters, he's got dimes and nickels and pennies. He said, don't throw them away. They still belong to God. And they'll fit into whatever economy within God's place that he's elected for them. Hallelujah. Man, what time is it? Boy, we got to close. All right, let's stand. Hallelujah. Look, this is the thing. Don't let yourself become discouraged. Whatever you're facing, whatever you've went through in this life. And look, friends, there's times that we've went through things like lost loved ones and different things like that, that we it feels like we can't never get over it. But I'm going to tell you this, don't allow that who that we read about in Romans 8, the devil, to come and torment your mind over those things. Because that's all he wants to do. He don't want to help you. He wants to torment you over it. Now, why does he want to torment you? Just because he wants to see you look bad? No, because he's wanting to hinder the work of the Word of God in your life. And don't take on them critical spirits. I see the way God is lead me when I study on this, and I'm going to get into talking about things of even my own self in this. Being certain of your ministry. But friends, look, this is the thing. Look, God sent me here. That's why that I can have the confidence to stay even in the bad times that I've been through. You know, there was a... Do you know the history of how the church up there in Ohio, my brother's church, that group, how they got that building that they're in right now? That building, I was actually the first one to see that building. I saw it back in 1982. We were meeting, at that time, the church was meeting at the Family Y. Mina and I were already engaged. And so we were going to get married. And so we needed a church building. I didn't want to get married to Family Y. We needed a church building. And somebody told me about this church over there on Lake Breeze Road and said, there's a pastor. I don't remember his name now. But that's so many years ago, but said there's a pastor over there, said he sometimes will rent out that building. And so I got a hold of him, went over and met him at the building, and I asked him, could I rent the church for me and my wife to get married in? Look, friends, when I was talking to him, I was 19 years old. And I asked him, could I rent this building? And we rented that building to get married in it 42 years ago. And it didn't look nothing like what it looks today. There was no drywall inside. The rock you seen on the outside is the same rock you saw on the inside of the walls. And it was very dark and looking in there and everything. But we got married in there. Well, anyway, over the years, the group there, different people, new converts and things were coming in. So we were... back years ago, we did baptisms out at the lake or somewhere like that, and that, And then it got where, sometimes people won't be baptized. It's too cold to go bay baptized in Lake Erie. So, the pastor was at the church then. His name was Brother Adams then. And so he said he would rent it out for them for the afternoon to come over there and be had do their baptisms in the baptistry. So we would rent that for a Sunday afternoon, go over there after our service and have a baptism there. And so then that man, that pastor, the group kept shrinking and shrinking that he had there to where they only had maybe about five members or so left. And so a bigger church over in Sandusky, Ohio, you know, big congregation, they reached out and offered him to come pastor them. He decided he was going to do it. So he informed the five members there, I'm going over there to pastor that church. He said, what do y'all want to do about this? He said, well, there's only five of us. He said, maybe we just need to sell it. And, you know, we'll just go attend other places and that. So they said, okay, you'll sell it. So they went about to see about selling it and that. And then somebody said, hey, how about that church group that keeps renting this to do baptisms? Said, evidently they need a building because they're baptizing a lot of people. And so then they contacted my father-in-law, because Brother Adams, he lived over on the same street my father-in-law lived on, and they contacted him, you know, gave him the offering. That's how it all came to be. But there's a little humorous story. It's not really connected with that. Of a man who was offered to go pastor a bigger church than the one he was at. And he told his wife, I'm going to go pray about this. You go ahead and pack. He had done made up his mind. Bigger church, I'm going. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. I know God sent me here. I don't care what God offered me. God would have to come down and speak to me and tell me, I'm moving you from here to somewhere. But he hasn't. I know God sent me here. So don't let that critical spirit that keeps trying to come back in here every once in a while. Because if it can get you to be critical of the ministry here, friends, what it's going to do is hinder the work of the Word of God in your life. Look, I'm not trying to make you brownies. Let's just make that clear. God didn't send me here for that. When Brother Phil and I talked the very first time about me considering coming here to pastor, that was not what it was about. I said, look, if God tells me to come, then I know God's sending me here to get the people ready to go in the rapture. That's what it's about. You know, personally, friends, I kind of believe these last name things are all going to drop off when we get the body change. You know, that's just our family names here. And I know in our flesh, we're proud of them. Sometimes, you know, okay, fine. But don't let that pride get in your way. There ain't none of us here got perfect families. I don't know about you, but I got murderers in some of my relatives. Tree back there, you know. There's murderers and drug addicts and everything else back there in that tree somewhere. If you shake it enough. I know your trees ain't no better. But I'm not concerned about your family tree or my family tree. I'm concerned about you and me. And not what family you come from, what your surname is here, but what family we're all a part of, the family of God. And I'm going to tell you this, friends, I'm more connected with the family of God than I actually am my flesh and blood family. I'm thankful for all my flesh and blood family that's also part of the family of God. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm not so attached to that those of the blood that they're going to drag me down. Serving God's first. This end time truth is first. What I believe here is first. Hallelujah. And I'm happy to be part of a family with y'all. I ain't ashamed or embarrassed to say that I'm from Dixon, Tennessee. Hallelujah. I'm glad that we're here. Amen. God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, this morning for your word. Thank you for your grace, dear God. Lord, thank you for strengthening us and God giving us guidance and encouragement, dear God. I pray go with us, Lord, this day. Go with each one, Lord, as they go their ways, Lord. And Father, whatever, God, that they've got planned for the remainder part of the day, go with them, be with them. Those that are out sick, I pray you'll touch them and heal them, dear God. God, any that maybe is out, maybe discouraged, I pray that you encourage them. Lord, I pray for Will. God, you'll help him, dear God. He's trying to get a different position in that where he works, God, to where it don't take him out of town so much, God. And he's been trying to move into a different position, but the man he's worked for is kind of blocking him, Lord. But Lord, you know the desire of his heart. And I pray, dear God, that you'll not only keep him, Lord, on these trips that he has to go to for his job, dear God, keep him during those times. Keep him encouraged. Let the angels of God be around him. But I pray also, God, that you move him into another position or job, Lord, that allow him to be here, God. We ask it for your glory in Jesus Christ's name.